Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18. We'll start reading in verse number 15. Of Deuteronomy chapter 18. We spoke of this in our Sunday school class this morning. I tried to impress upon those who were there to really pay attention to this portion of God's Word. It's so vital to those of us who are saved by God's grace and to those who are lost and have not trusted Christ. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God at Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Speaking when they come to Mount Sinai, and God terrified them with his voice and with the fire that was on the mountain, and they begged God. They begged Moses to entreat God that he would not hear again, or they would not hear again that voice, nor see that great fire on Mount Sinai. Now, verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses. Will put my words in his mouth. Now notice, I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This was written by Moses during the days of their journey from Egypt into the Promised Land, about 1,500 years before Christ, which would mean about 3,500 years ago to us. These words are ancient words, and they apply to you, saved or lost. They apply to me. This is a warning from God. I'll read again, verse 18 and 19. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses. He'll be like you. Will put my words in his mouth. My words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I will require it of him. Now this is God, Moses, writing the very words that we read for our learning, for our admonition. God promised a prophet in the days of Moses after Mount Sinai when they begged him not to let God speak to them anymore, but that he would speak to God and he would tell them what God says. And God says in this portion of Scripture, the words that the Lord Jesus Christ, we know he's speaking of Christ, the words that he shall speak will not be his words, but they'll be the words of his Father. the words that he shall speak, God the Father will require it of every person who does not take heed to those words. Now, this is written to Israel, but beloved, it was written to us. And that's what I want to preach this morning. The title of my message is The Words of the Prophet. What do we read in the New Testament concerning this? We had this in our Sunday school class in Acts chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me and see that Moses quoted this portion of Scripture shortly after Pentecost when he was preaching, and the people were come thronging to him because this man had been healed who was lame from his birth. And he asked alms of Peter and John, and they said, "Silver have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man not only rose up and walked, but he began to leap, began to run, and he began to praise God. But Peter began to make reference to this, how they had killed the Prince of Life. They denied the Holy One and asked for a murderer, Barabbas. But let's go down, if you would, please, and read in verse 22 of chapter 3 of Acts. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me." Like unto me. "Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Now, this is the words of Moses written for the admonition of the people of Israel some 1,500 years later when Christ would come into the world. Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Now, this is Peter's message to the unbelieving Jews who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read in the next chapter, many of them believed after this message. And the number of the souls in the church began to be about 5,000 men. But what is the response of the Jewish people? God promised a prophet. What kind of a testimony do we have in the New Testament? How did they receive this prophet? John 6, verse 14. Let's read a few verses here. This is during the ministry of Jesus Christ in the 6th chapter of John, in the 14th verse. "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did," he had just fed 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves, five barley loaves and two small fishes. And verse 14 again, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." John 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." He that believeth on me. Now, when Peter preached, many believed on him. This is indeed that prophet. We go on and read this in verse 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet." He's the one. But notice, others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Some believed, some didn't. How did they receive the words of God Himself spoken through God's prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ? We'll read that later in Hebrews. How did they receive His words? When you look at the words of Christ, we're in John 8. Let's just read this while we're there, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came, whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Now, what was the message in Deuteronomy? I will send them a prophet. I'll raise up a prophet out of the midst of their brethren. And he's going to speak for me. Paraphrasing. Verse 17. It is also written in the law, in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. The Father that sent me? What is he claiming for himself? Now, he doesn't say it openly, I am that prophet. But he says, I came from the Father. The words that I'm telling you are truth. I'm bearing witness of myself, and my witness is true because the Father is bearing witness with me. Verse 20, these works spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What was the threat? What was the warning from God? If you do not hear the prophet, you'll be destroyed from among the people. Are they receiving his words? Verse 26 reads this way, and please read this with me. I have many things to say. I have many things to say. I have many words to speak to you and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. How much clearer can it be? This is the prophet. Some doubt, some say he is, some say he isn't. But what are the words of Christ saying? I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He's fulfilling the prophecy of Moses in every way. He is indeed that prophet. In verse 37 of the same chapter 8 of John, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me? Because my word hath no place in you. What was the warning? If he will not receive his words, every man that will not receive his word shall be destroyed from among the people. Because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. You see, in verse 45, same chapter 8, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. That's still true, beloved. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear not, because ye are not of God. How did they receive him? What was the attitude of most of the Jewish people? Thank God, we read John chapter 1, he came in his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them that gave he power to have life. We'll read that in just a moment. My word hath no place in you. Do you see the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ on faith? What we receive today, we have to receive by faith. What they receive, they must receive by faith. Beloved, there's no sight involved. There's no feelings involved. There's no emotions involved. Yes, you may have those after you receive His Word, but if you have those before you receive His Word, you're going to follow a false hope. Because you must receive His words. You must believe His words. You see, the emphasis is on faith. Let me ask the question today to those who are here. Do you believe His words? And I know there's so many. I mean, there's so many words to believe, but do you believe the simplest? We'll get to that later on in the message. But they're not complicated. You know, the first message that Jesus preached when He began His ministry in Matthew chapter 4 is a very simple message: repent. You believe that? That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His words were not complicated. Oh, yes, we didn't understand them. We still don't understand all that we need to about them. But, beloved, the simplicity of His message is addressed to us. He is that prophet. And the promise that God made, the warning that He gave, is still in force today. If you do not receive His word, you're going to be destroyed. That's the promise of the Word of God. That's the promise of God to those who reject His Son. Do we believe the message He preached in Luke 13? Except you repent, you're going to perish. Again, that's not a question in the sense, it's a command. Except you repent, you're going to perish. If you don't believe His words, you must repent. You're going to have to repent of unbelief. You're going to have to repent. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. I've heard about Him. I've been here in church for years. I know all about Jesus. But have you trusted Him? Have you received Him as God's Son, as the one who offered Himself that you might have eternal life? Have you believed the message He preached in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish? You see what the warning is? Should not perish. Isn't that what God said back in Deuteronomy 18? If you don't receive His word, you'll be destroyed from among the people. Jesus said, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe His words concerning heaven? John 14:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, let's read that. It's pretty close. Just turn a few pages to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you believe that? I'll tell you how you can judge whether or not you believe it. Are you serving Him? Have you repented? Have you confessed Him? Have you acknowledged Him publicly before people? That's what the message of the gospel is. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ will receive you unto Himself? You see, beloved, you don't understand the emphasis that God puts on believing His words. To most people, it's just so many words in a book. But these are the words of life. If you don't receive them, you're going to perish. You believe John 3:16? Has it become personal to you? I'll tell you, if it has, a change came upon you. You're not the same person you used to be. Have you believed the words in John 15? You've not chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. See, we need to believe every word, not just what we want. Most people want to pick and choose. They want to consider the Word of God as a smorgasbord, so to speak, and they take what they want and they leave the rest of it. But I'll tell you, the words of Jesus Christ are being accepted in full, completely, and wholly, and unashamedly. When you think about His words and you know what He's commanded of you, have you done it? Think of the word in John 5:24, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I almost quoted it earlier, but I got off to chapter 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, that doesn't mean as much until you read the next verse. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That sheds some light on your unbelief and on your doubts. Verily, verily, amen, amen, is translated the same word. Surely, surely is translated from the same word. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, not just with your ear, but you hear it in a sense, it's had an impact on you. And believeth on him that sent me, believe I'm the one that God promised through Moses would come, and if you'll hear my word, I'll receive you. And if you don't hear my word, you'll perish. Same message in the New Testament as in Deuteronomy 18. It's still binding on us, beloved. Because in Hebrews, I made mention of this earlier, I'm going to read it now. The first chapter of Hebrews, the writer to the Jewish people who wrote the book of Hebrews begins it with these words. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All that the prophets spoke of, look forward to Christ. There's been no prophet, there's been no revelation since the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Everything the apostles taught, everything the early church taught, if they taught it scripturally and truthfully, was based on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God's message to us. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What is our obligation today? Believe his word. Every word. Not pick and choose what you want. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God's last message to us came through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading it in your presence. We're reading the account of his life. We're reading the words that he spoke, the things that he did. All comes down to Christ. And he is that prophet. Have you heard John 10, my sheep hear my voice? And I know them, and they follow me. You want to know how you're saved? You want to know if you're saved or not? Are you following the voice of the shepherd? Someone used an illustration the other night, really interesting to me, about four different flocks of sheep got all mixed together in the middle of a square somewhere, and the four shepherds were over somewhere talking, and all of a sudden they were through, and each one spoke, and those flocks began to separate into four different flocks, and they all followed their shepherd. You see, when Jesus spoke those words, he was speaking a truth. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Are you following him? Do you love his word? Do you want to keep his word? You want to do what he says? Then you're a sheep, because you're following the shepherd. When we think about when he said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. What do you do with that? You listen to it politely, but you never act on it? That tells you something. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That has all the power of God behind it. All the way back 1,500 years to the days of Moses when he spoke it, and now another 2,000 years since then, it still has all the power of God behind it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. When he says in Matthew 24, the love of many shall wax cold. You believe that? If you're saved, you ought to believe it because it's so apparent. People that profess faith in Christ are drawing back. They're drawing away. They're getting cold. They're getting indifferent to the things of God. When you read the Beatitudes and all the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You believe that? It's his words. We're obligated to believe it. We're obligated to receive it. We're obligated to live by it. Because it's no good just to hear it and not respond to it. We must hear it. And really we're showing that we believe it when we respond to it. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter number 6. All these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? Or do you believe it's up to you to provide for your family, do everything you need to do? You put any trust in God at all? Is it all up to you? If you think it's all up to you, then you have left God out. You don't believe the words of Christ. Don't be worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He taught us. He'd take care of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many believe it today? These words are still true, beloved. It's still binding on us the promise that God made through Moses to receive that prophet. And not just to receive him as a person, as a name, but to receive him indeed by responding to what he said. Has he spoken to you? Then you should receive his word. What he said about heaven, John 14. We need to receive that. We're glad to hear about heaven. What he said about hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it's an everlasting damnation, it's an everlasting destruction. There'll never be any relief. We need to believe that too. What he said about death when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died also, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. That's still the words of Jesus Christ, and it's still directly connected to what God said through Moses. If you won't receive that, then you're going to perish. What he said about judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The dead were cast into the lake of fire. The lost. People who did not believe the words of Jesus Christ. People who had not received the message of the gospel. They rejected the teachings concerning Christ. The teaching that we're to love the brethren. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Are you uncomfortable in their presence? You come, but yeah, you sure be glad when it's over. When he said, watch and be ready, are you watching? Do you expect his return at any time? That's what he taught. I believe the apostles did that because it was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't come. It's been 2,000 years since they were here. But I'll tell you this, they believed his word and they were watching and they were ready. If they fulfilled the words of Jesus Christ, that's where their peace was. That's where their assurance was. And it's still the same today. When he said, "Behold, I come quickly." Do you believe that? Then why are we getting so involved in things that are going to take a lot of time to work themselves out? Why are we so entangled with this world that it would be hard for us to turn loose in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? We really don't believe if we're getting so entangled with this world that we would be unhappy if the Lord came. The words of the prophet. Was he raised up by God? You know, I didn't read this in Hebrews chapter 10. But it said, "A body hast thou prepared me." He was born of a woman, just like any other man, with one exception. He had no earthly father. The Holy Spirit was his father. God was his father. But he looked like any other Jew. He spoke many words. And beloved, it's imperative, it's profitable for us that we know his words as much as in us is. We spend our time on a lot of things, but you'll never spend your time on anything more profitable than knowing this book. Because these are the words of God, particularly the gospel record showing the words of Jesus Christ, how powerful they are. How comforting they are. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." You look at this world around you and see how wicked it is and all the things that are going on, and it just makes you wonder and it makes you cry out, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." It's such a mess. It's not going to get better because he told us. The love of many shall wax cold. And he told us through the Apostle Paul, wickedness will be worse and worse. He said, "Well, that's not very encouraging." Well, it should be if you're saved. And if you're not really paying heed to his word like you ought to, it's a warning. That's why I'm preaching this. We need to put a lot of credence in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not to live unto ourselves. We need to live unto him. And his word should mean a lot to us. If he says do it, we ought to be trying to do it. If he says not to do it, we ought not be doing it. It's that simple. Because the words of Jesus Christ are so important to those who know him. One of the evidences that you've been born again is your response, how you respond to the words of Christ. Do you want to do them? Paul did. He says in Romans 7, that I would, I do not. That I would not, that do I, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul knew he wasn't what he needed to be or wanted to be. But he also knew the word of God was very important. And his life should be directed by it. Do you know that today? As a Christian, do you know that? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That destroys almost all the religion in the world. Did you know that? Almost all the religion in this world is destroyed by that one verse of Scripture. I am the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, because I am that prophet. I am the one that Moses wrote about. I'm the one that all the prophets spoke of. And he wasn't ashamed of that. Now I want you to think with me in closing. Why did they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Would they hate him because he healed a lame man that had never walked? Because he opened the ears of deaf people or opened the eyes of blind people? He raised the dead? Why did they hate him? What was the one chief thing that brought the hatred of the Jewish people upon the Lord Jesus Christ? His words. Read Luke 23 and see how many times he called the Pharisees hypocrites. They didn't like that. Read his words and see how he taught and see how he condemned religion per se. And you'll see why they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." It was his words that they hated. And they perished apart from the grace of God. Now I know that on the day of Pentecost, many of them repented. And later in chapter number 4, many more repented. Thank God for that. Thank God for the gospel that offers to us a way of escape from our own ignorance and our own rejection of God's word. Everyone here saved today, you know as well as I do that there was a time in your life when you rejected the words of Christ. You'll not have this man rule over you. You may have been young and just could not see acknowledging Christ and becoming a member of that church and living like those people. You have won no part of that. But if you repented, you were changed. Jesus had several exceptions in the Bible. I just want to mention a few of them and then we'll close. I mentioned one of them already. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Except you be born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. And those exceptions mean just exactly what, there's no exception to it. No one will ever be in heaven without having been born again. That's God's way. He's declared it in his word, and God is truth, and he cannot lie. If you've never been saved, you've rejected the words of Christ, because I know you've heard them this morning. You either accept them or you reject them. There's no middle ground. You can't find a spot in the middle. Either accept it or you reject it. I pray that God will help you if you're lost to accept his promise, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe his words. That's what he's asking you to do. Believe his promises. Believe the things that he taught. And you acknowledge that by publicly confessing with your mouth Jesus as your Lord. That's the principle of the Word of God. You acknowledge that. Don't be ashamed of it. You won't be ashamed of it. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. So we're going to close the service with a word of prayer. And then we're going to ask our song leader to come and lead us in a hymn. Bow your heads. Father, we know we're completely dependent upon you and on the Holy Spirit to make anything we've said of value. And I pray that you might use your word to accomplish the purposes that you have. Thy will, not our will, be done. We would have everyone here to be saved. That's our personal desire. But Lord, I know that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. So we bow to you and we acknowledge our weakness. And we also acknowledge your great power and pray that it might please you to save the lost. Stir up your people that maybe have been straying away from your word and not been faithful to keep your word. May you help them at this time to acknowledge that, to repent of it, and draw back close to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.